on behalf of the Indianapolis Apostolic Christian Church, the Impsch families and the Sauter families, welcome all of you here today. We're thankful for such a full church. And I happen to be the dad of the groom, for those of you that don't know. And one of the unique advantages of being a preacher's kid, it has a lot of positives, actually very few positives, a lot of negatives. If you ask my kids, there's probably a lot more negatives than positives. But one of the things that I think would be probably considered a positive is Stephen, a while ago, and Paige sent me an email, kind of an outline of how they wanted the service. And so I went through it and looked at some of the scriptures and thought, well, okay, I'll try to put something together that way. And about a week later, Stephen and I sat down. And I said, Stephen, this isn't going to work for me. And I just wasn't feeling it. And and he said, I said, let's take this in a, let me, do you mind if I just play with it a little bit and take it in a different direction? And he said, well, Dad, see what you come up with, and I'll check back with you in another week. So, as it turns out, he never checked back with me. So, so here we are, Stephen. Here. Paige, you're on your own. And really, tradition, as I look out this afternoon, I see a lot of Francisville people, family. And it goes back to about almost 29 years ago where Brother Wendell had our wedding service, my wife Gina and myself's wedding service. And he started it off, I think he started all of them off this way. And he said something like this, Paige and Stephen, this is your wedding day. You've waited a long time for this, and here we are in just about an hour. You will be man and wife. So as we go through some of the scriptures this afternoon, there'll be a lot of instruction and hopefully a lot of encouragement, and I think there'll be a good dose of reality for all of us. So if you're sitting next to your spouse, it's a good opportunity to say, let's see what the Word says about this. If you're not married yet and hoping to at some point in time, this will be a chance for you to perhaps gain an understanding of what it's like to take this step that these two are about to take. The one scripture that Stephen asked me to do was a parable that was found in the New Testament, and I'll just paraphrase it here a little bit. And it was about a wedding that Jesus was telling the story that the man invited all of his friends, and those of you that are familiar with this will understand that there was a wedding and a man invited all his friends, and it turns out that none of them showed up. Well, that's not the case today. Did you see the crowd here? It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So, thank you, and we welcome you. The scripture that I think is fitting to set the stage for the instructional part of the service is just really a kind of a global view of how God looks at marriage and how God looks at us as individuals, and maybe even a corporate setting on how God looks at us corporately as a group of individuals here inside of a building that he calls the church. And there's lots of churches, there's lots of buildings, there's lots of communities. But at some point in time, God ties all of that together as his kingdom. And he takes us all. And he tells us what that might be like in the book of Revelations. And I'm just going to read one or maybe two verses out of the book of Revelations. You don't have to go there. I'll read it, and I'll read slow so you'll understand. But I think it sets the stage for where we want to go and perhaps what God would want to talk to us about today. We're going to hear about weddings, the union of man and woman, but also, maybe more importantly, we're going to hear about the union that is necessary between us and God. And God makes reference, and Jesus makes reference to us, as individuals, the church, being the bride of Christ. And we find this in Revelations chapter 21, verse 2. Don't go there. I'll read it to you. And I, John's the one writing this scripture. He's the one that's getting the vision and giving this to us as an understanding of what we can expect. And it says this, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." And we can picture that, can't we? This New Jerusalem, this heaven, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared this way, okay? Prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. You put a lot of preparation into getting ready for this day. Family, page, bridesmaids, groomsmen. A lot of thought. We worked this morning. You look beautiful this morning, or this afternoon. So we sit down, everyone here. Thank you. This side looks better than that side, I will say. Yeah, for sure. But that's all right. It talks about the bride. The bride adorned as the bride is adorned for her husband. So as we think about that, the preparation that went into today and how beautiful everyone looks, and we wanted this to be right. We wanted this day to go off without any hitches at all. And I'd imagine there's going to be some roadblocks, and in all reality, there already has been. But we're here. And that's what life is about, right, as we prepare. It's about the ups and downs. But the important thing is when we come to this wedding looking beautiful and prepared and ready to go, we want to be ready to, in the same way, meet our Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he would say this in the book of Mark. We find it in Luke also. When we think about coming together as a marriage, as a couple, as individuals, he sets the standard. And I'm going to read this because it'll become important to help understand what happens in really a marriage relationship. And some of the other verses won't make any sense at all, I think, from a human standpoint, if we can't get this verse down. Actually, I completely believe we won't get the verses of instruction on marriage if we can't get this verse down. And it's this, "And thou shalt love the Lord God, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." It's about love. God is about relationships, and he's about connection. He's about communication. And that's what the job of his Holy Spirit is, to communicate with us. But he has a desire for us to love him with all that we have. And it will be no different for you, Stephen, as you think about loving Paige, and Paige, as you love Stephen, is that it's with all that you have within you. It's just going to take all of it. But focus first on God with all your heart. This is the first commandment that we're going to give you. And it's that important today. And the second commandment is this. And the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is another commandment greater than these. Stephen and Paige, you got new neighbors. You two are going to be neighbors now for the rest of your life. It takes a commitment. It's very challenging at times. But if you love the Lord your God, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. Let's sing together as a church this morning in your brown books called the Hymns of Zion. I think most people should have them there. Number 289, entitled "The Love of God." Number 289.
Yeah.
Let's, as a church, stand and pray together. Unto thee, our great God, we want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we can celebrate this day of two souls coming together, uniting their hearts together, and becoming one. And Lord, we know that this is a gift that you've given both Paige and Stephen. You've given to the Emsch family and the Sauter family, Lord. These two lives that get to come into our homes and become prayer partners, battle warriors, Lord, and we're thankful for this. We pray a blessing upon them, Lord, as they make a beginning today, the first day of this union. We pray, Lord, that thou would keep them and bless them, that thou would ever guide them, that thou would be near unto them in their decision-making processes, in their work decisions, and where they live decisions, and if they'll have children, and how they will raise them, and all the challenges that come with just starting a family. Lord, we thank you that we have a God that we can turn to that loves us and cares for us as individuals and as couples. Lord, we pray that you will bless this church for their openness, and as they will essentially begin part of their married life here, Lord, and maybe the rest of their life here in this church, in this community, we pray for a blessing upon it. The leadership here, Brother Ken, and the ministers who labor here, those that assemble here, Lord, that you will help them to love thy Lord thy God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind and strength, Lord, and love their neighbors as themselves, as they would take in those from the community here. Lord, we thank you for being with us. We thank thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, that made it all possible, that we would have the ability to inherit eternal life and spend eternity with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stephen and Paige, I just have a question for you both individually. So take a second to breathe, take in some air. Hopefully the answer is yes. Stephen, is it your faith that God has brought Paige into your life, and that after prayerful consideration, you believe it is His will that you be joined together in marriage? Yes. Paige, is it your faith that God has brought Stephen into your life, and that after prayerful consideration, you believe that it is His will that you be joined together in marriage? Yes. Let's go. Who would have thought that on a ferry ride to the Statue of Liberty would have brought this event, right? That's how God works. Just really mysterious ways that He takes two souls and puts them in really a unique situation in a place that perhaps is unfamiliar as going to the Statue of Liberty. And He creates a connection that just works. And I can remember Stephen coming home and visiting with Gina and I, and he was talking about this girl that he met. And it was interesting to visit. We didn't know Paige. And to see how God was working in his life to get to the point where he had the faith to believe that she was the one that he was supposed to marry. And the same with Paige. She went through her journey trying to understand why Stephen was brought into her life. Not as a curse, Stephen, but why was... but why was Stephen brought into Paige's life? Well, we know that there's one thing that we know for sure is that we don't always understand God's ways and what He has planned for them in the future. But we know that for today, it's to create oneness between you two. And as we talk about oneness between our Creator, loving our Lord, our God, with all our heart and soul and mind, we think about how Jesus, in really one of his last prayers, talking to his disciples, he just prayed to God that we would be as one, even as he is one with his Father. And there's this union and unity that's very clear throughout the Bible. And as he instructs us on our wedding relationships, marriage relationships, relationships between couples, is that there's a communion that is designed to happen. And as Jesus has prayed for us as individuals going through life here on earth, he prayed that we be one with the Father. And we see that in the importance of the marriage union. In Genesis chapter 2, right at the beginning of the Bible, after he created heaven and earth and all that, he said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should live alone. And I will make a helpmeet for him. Somebody to help him, somebody to see his blind spots, somebody to encourage him, somebody that's just right for him." And Paige, we believe that's you. We believe that's you. And Stephen, that's you for Paige. That you're designed, this marriage is designed to help each other through life. And he would later on, further in this chapter, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was their name." So he formed the animals out of the dust and said, "Adam, go ahead and name them." But when he did that, he looked and he saw, this really isn't good enough. It isn't good enough. In verse 22 in Genesis chapter 2, it says, well, it's verse 21. It says, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed it up in the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made woman, and he brought her under man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." In the next verse, I want to talk about, not in a literal sense at all, but perhaps in a global sense, to the fact in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it says this, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." And I want to think about that just a little bit as before we start. And I think it's important because I've had my own battles of not doing this very well. And Stephen, you've been witness to that. Boys, family. Is that I really encourage you as you develop your relationship to hide nothing from each other. That this, they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Shame is a horrible thing to deal with. But openness is beautiful. So I encourage you to take this verse, all of us to take this verse, and let's be open and vulnerable with each other. Is that there's really nothing that should come in between us. He's talking literally here, I believe, probably at the very basic point of there shouldn't even be a fig leaf between us. And I just challenge the church, and if there's anything today that you're holding between your spouse, is that you can make that go away. Just come clean. And let's start today on this new relationship of being open and vulnerable and moving on. In the book of Ephesians, it says almost the same thing as it does in Genesis. It tells us in Ephesians 5, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." And that coming, becoming of one flesh relates back into probably what I feel is one of the most powerful portions of Scripture in God's Word. We can see Scriptures that would point to weddings and couples and relationships between man and a woman. But I think Ephesians chapter 5 really lays it out pretty beautiful, because it's a consistent theme that God teaches all the way through His Word about loving Him. that it always goes back to our relationship with God and how we're doing with our spouse. And as we journey through Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to take you verse by verse so you don't have to open, but you can. It starts off in verse 21 about two becoming one. It tells us to submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And I just want to start off by saying submission really gets a bad rap, in my opinion. It gets a bad rap. And I just encourage you, if we're struggling with submission or if submission's a problem in anybody's life today, let's go back to what we learned about the greatest commandment. We're all called to be submissive. Okay, there's a lot of times we can use these scriptures and point fingers and say, you're supposed to be submissive to me, honey. Don't you know Ephesians? And rightfully so, those fingers should come back and say, yeah, I know Ephesians, but don't you know the greatest commandment? You see, we're both called to be submissive unto God. And I believe that's what he's bringing out here, as he says, is that submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And probably there's a good chance that how you submit to each other and how you choose to submit to each other will be how you choose to submit to God. That if submission and submitting to each other is an issue, I would have to challenge you, how are you submitting to God? Next verse would say, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's a savior for the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I just challenge you, all of us, is that husbands, Stephen, live a life that makes it easy for your wife to submit. You want her to submit to you willingly, just like God wants us to submit to him willingly. He doesn't force us to love him. He doesn't force us to follow his direction. He just simply asks. And we do it. Why? Why do you submit to God? I think this is a good question to ask all of us. Why do we submit to God? I would imagine that two answers that would come to our mind is that we submit to God because we love him, and we submit to God because we trust him. Love and trust are probably two of the biggest reasons why we feel we can submit to God. And Stephen, I challenge you to be that kind of husband to Paige, where she can love and trust your direction. That she knows that you have her best intentions in mind. That there's various challenges that cause us to become very selfish as husbands and as wives. And we need to be called into balance with those thoughts and those things. But be a husband that you can love and trust to provide good direction. You will be the head of the house. It's the order that God has set up. You're going to be the one that has to establish some of these orders. She's going to be a great person to help you and encourage you. You know from our history, as in our house, there's many times when mom was encouraging me to take the lead when I didn't want to. I really couldn't. So use her as a wonderful tool. She's given you as someone to help you through this. And then the next thing, it says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Are you ready to die for your wife? I think that's what he's asking. The person that you took this vow with today, would you die for her? Even as Christ died for the church, that's the love that we're called to have. And I know, because I sat there, not here, but 29 years ago, And I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, Ken and I were talking at dinner last night. We were listening to our wedding. You won't remember most of this, so that's why they're probably recording it, just so you know. Right? They won't remember most of this. But you know what? I got notes. I'll email them to you. But you're going to take some vows, and at the time, we say, yes, I do, I will. What's it take to get out of here kind of attitude? But this is for real. Okay, these vows are for real, and the commitment's for real, and your love is for real. And he says that you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing, the water by the word. And this is perhaps that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. We took pictures this morning in the backyard. They were outside pictures, and it was a little damp. And I noticed this morning that Paige got a spot on her dress. I think it came out. I don't see it. But all of a sudden, after the pictures were over, Shelley was over there with a washcloth and a little soap and water, and she was scrubbing that little spot out. Because she wanted Paige to be able to enter into the sanctuary without spot or blemish. She took that care where we were so everything would look and be perfect. And it is. You look awesome. Your dress looks good. I don't see anything. Looks good. But that's how you're supposed to nurture your relationship. So there's no spot or blemish, that you might present himself as a glorious church, even so his wife, without spot or wrinkle and without blemish. And the last verse in that chapter that I would like to touch on, and then we're going to go into some pretty basic instruction. Okay? We'll go into instruction. And it's Ephesians 5:33. And if those of you that have done any Bible studies, you probably run across this verse in multiple Bible studies, but it says this: nevertheless, let every one of you, in so particular, love his wife, even as himself, and that the wife, that she reverence her husband. And that's the love and respect piece that is important. And there's huge tendencies when we come together as a group. And I'm of the belief that if it wasn't important for us to understand, God wouldn't have put it in his word. And if it wasn't going to be a challenge, he wouldn't tell us to do it. But we need reminders. We need to be able to go back to his book and say, what am I supposed to do? How is this supposed to work? And he tells us here in his word that, Stephen, you're supposed to love your wife. And there will be times when she's unlovable, I would imagine. I don't want to make any assumptions. I got the most lovable wife, and sometimes we struggle. And Paige, you're asked to respect Stephen, even when he's unrespectable. And that's hard. It takes something from within us to muster up that strength to say, this is what God asked me to do. And we've done Bible studies with groups of men, I think, and women. I think at one point in time we had done almost 70 couples through a Bible study. And this love and respect principle was found true. And out of the 70 couples, I think there was only two couples that it wasn't true, that the husband really, really needed the love portion of it and the wife really wanted the respect. I don't think that's wrong. It's just different. All I want to do is encourage you to find out what you need and meet that deepest need. But God tells us here that this will probably be your need, is that you're going to need to love her like she's never been loved before. And I know, John and Peg, you've loved her a lot. You've done a great job with her. But it just said here, you got to love her like Christ loved the church. It's a full commitment. And you're going to respect him for the man that he is and the man that he can become. and he'll need that encouragement. And as we move on here, one of the tendencies is to over-prepare, so I could keep you here for about 2 hours. I'm not going to do that because it's not fair. And there is a schedule. But I am going to leave you with a couple of advice, a little bit of advice here. And it's really an acronym for both you, Stephen, and Paige, that I don't expect you to remember, but just remember that we have it somewhere for you, and we'll give it to you. And I don't see any pockets on your dress, Paige, so you don't have a paper and pencil, so you can't write this down. But as we speak to you today, we're going to speak in an acronym, and this is what it is. And it's to Paige. The acronym is CHAIRS, C-H-A-I-R-S. What does that mean? The C, your responsibility that we're going to ask you to do, and I believe that Stephen would really appreciate, is C stands for conquest. And his conquest will be is that you will appreciate his desire to work and achieve. And Stephen has a great desire to work and achieve. Now, he's got to get out of school to get a good job and do all that stuff, but that's common, Stephen, so you got to do it. Father-son talk up here, right? I mean, we already heard that you got to leave your father and mother, so that's got to do it. So here we go. His desire to work and achieve. H, it's the hierarchy. That's what that stands for, is that you appreciate his desire to protect and provide. And that's the loving her, like Christ loved the church, that protection piece that is so huge, and the provider piece. And don't get me wrong, I think the financial provisions are important, but they're not everything. The provision, I believe, God first and foremost wants is you provide for her spiritual needs. Okay? That you're going to, and Paige, you're going to have to ask him at times. You say, I need you to pray with me. Gina does it to me. It's not a natural inclination for me, for sure, to see all those needs. So you're going to have to ask him and respect that hierarchy and that desire to do that. Authority, C-H-A, is authority. You appreciate his desire to serve and lead. And as you come into this church, Stephen, there's going to be opportunities to serve. I already talked to Ken. And I said, put him to work. He can do it. So we ate dinner last night, or we sat next to each other last night at dinner. So he knows more about you than anybody. Paige, appreciate his insight, his desire to analyze and counsel. And if there's anything about Stephen, he's going to analyze and he's going to counsel. Okay. He's gonna help you figure all this out because he's read a book about it, or he heard some, or he heard a podcast, and so he's all this stuff's gonna come right out of him. He said, "Well, I heard on this thing like yesterday," and so this is what we ought to do. Appreciate that part of him. It is part of him. It really, really is. It's a big part of him. So appreciate that desire to analyze and counsel. There's a part for you that you're gonna have to that. The next part is for you, or in the next portion coming up. So just don't get too proud there. The R in the CHAIRS acronym is simply this, is that you appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder relationships. And if you know anything about relationships, women really like face-to-face relationships, and men typically talk shoulder-to-shoulder. You know, you can stand here and say, how's it going? You know, we could have great conversations never looking at each other. Right? You find that to be true, where women, they want to be face-to-face, and they want to sit there and stare and do all that. That's pretty natural, normal. So those shoulder-to-shoulder relationships, if he doesn't look face-to-face at you, tell him he has to. And then Gina will every now and then will encourage me to look at her. And then The S part is the sexuality piece. Appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy, and that's an important piece. And then Stephen, we're moving on. We got about 5 minutes left, so let's do it. This is The C is going to stand for couple. Actually, the chairs are for Paige's responsibility. C is couple, C-O-U-P-L-E, and this is the acronym for that. As C is for closeness. If you're not close, you're going to hear about it. Okay? She's going to want a desire to be close and feel those face-to-face relationships, right? She wants to know. She's going to want you to know her heart, know what she's thinking, where she's going. She's going to need that and want that. We heard last night, Paige, you're a supporter of your friends, and that you're just a great person to have around with you, and that's perfect. He's going to need that, and you're going to need that, Stephen. You were talking to you last night. They talked about your leadership ability. We have a leader and a supporter coming on here, and it's just really a neat combination, isn't it? That can come together, and it's a husband and wife coming together. That they can work together as a team. The O in the couple acronym stands for openness. And if you act distant, Stephen, or irritated, she's going to think you're mad at her. Okay? So if you act distant or if you're irritated, she's going to think you're mad at her. It could be something at work. It could be something with all kinds of, who knows the situation. So if you act that way, this is probably going to be her first assumption. It's because she values that relationship and communication piece. And this is really, remember how we talked about Paige, you're going to have to appreciate how he analyzes and counsels. This is for you, Stephen. The opposite, the you in here is understand that she will prefer that you listen, not lecture. Yeah, I know. Sorry. But I got you up here, so. She's really going to prefer that. And isn't that common? We men typically want to fix it. We have a solution. And a lot of times she's just going to want you to listen to her. So take that time to just hear her out, hear her through, and try not to fix it all the time. Just, we know most of the time through hard times, really even therapeutically, a lot of times we can just talk about something we feel better, right? We don't need answers all the time. And that's, I think, part of what you'll find here. The P part of couple is simply this. If she feels one with you, all is peaceful. So work on staying as a unit. Okay, try not to work independently, but as a unit. L is for loyalty. She needs to make sure, Stephen, that you will always be there for her. Always. Okay? That's very important. That there's not a doubt in her mind that you will always be there for her. And whatever those needs are, that you will be there. And the E stands for esteem. And it's simply that she needs respect too. So respect her. Love her and respect her. Love him and respect him, Paige, okay? That's just how it works. And it's a great thing. I'm going to leave you with a few verses here. And we find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What we make reference to is the love chapter. And it just talks about, I think, what is fitting here today. And in conclusion to the message, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says this: "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." This is the time for two of you to become grown-ups. Not that you're not, but this is real. You're going to establish your life now together. And that some of those things that you could do when you were single and without perhaps much accountability at all is gone. In just a few minutes, Ken's going to have you make a commitment to each other and to the church through vows that says what's happened in the past is the past. And here we're going to move forward as adults, working together as a team. And the next verse, I think, is so nice. 1 Corinthians 13:12, and it says, and I think there's going to be some of this to you. I know that youth is just a beautiful thing. We think we have it all figured out. I know I did. When I got married, I thought, well, this will be easy. Boom, you know, and all of a sudden, this ain't all that easy. This is real. And I think this is in the Word for a reason. And it says, for now we see through a glass darkly. So what you think may be clear may not be as clear as you think. Okay? So that's why we take steps. We take steps on our journey together. But then, though I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Is that take your journey slowly. You're both planners. You're both very intentional people. But I can just tell you there are times when it's just one day at a time in your relationship. Set your goals. Have a vision. But let God do His thing. Okay? We don't want to put God in a box. Just let Him do His thing. He's very, very good at it. In the last verse in that chapter, it says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest is charity. We started the service off with you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And we read in Corinthians, the greatest love chapter written, that the greatest of those things is charity. So establish your relationship on the love of Christ and the commitment to each other to love each other through thick and thin, the good and the bad, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. And it'll be a beautiful thing. And the last bit of encouragement I give you is just simply a verse. We find it in Romans chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, it's been awesome to raise you and get to this point. I know you'll do a great job. Paige, welcome to the family. We're excited.
Thanks, Brother James. The heart of a father. Last night I heard it wasn't so easy to raise you, so I'm a little conflicted right now. We're thankful. The moment's here, but could I say as a little something to the church just a minute? I appreciated the word and the instruction. And this is really important for you too, because I know you won't remember this stuff, but you're going to learn it as you go. And to the church, who you're hearing it differently. And it strikes me that as we were listening to this instruction, we're all in different places and wherever we are. I thought about those that are here that have laid their loved one to rest in the last year or two. Man, my heart goes out for you because you're listening to all this stuff and you're replaying it in your mind. And I know you're saying amen to all of it because you experienced it. Because we're going to talk about for better or for worse. We're going to talk about for in sickness and in health. And some of you, your marriages are struggling right now. And you're listening to all this and you're thinking about how did I get to where I am and what can I really do about it? And I hope that if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, if you've heard all this churchy stuff before and you don't even like weddings because all we do is talk about church stuff and religion stuff, I hope that all of us can look to Jesus Christ. I don't know what else to say other than, and to you two, when you don't know what to do, you turn to Jesus Christ. When you've tried all else, pray to the Lord. And he will hear your prayer. Doesn't matter how bad it is. It don't matter where we are. Doesn't matter what's happened. But Jesus Christ loves us and He fills the hole in our heart. That's Jesus Christ. And that's the best thing we can give you guys. That's the best thing. So it's time. Are you ready? Why don't you stand up right before that step there? I can't even see it. Come on up there. Are you crying because you're happy? It's kind of nervous too, right? Me too. You're happy too, I could tell. You know, usually I would ask you about your faith about marriage at this point, but James asked you. And on that testimony of faith, we're going to go into your vows, okay? So we decided when a couple gets prepared for this moment, we talk about should we repeat the vows, should we say the vows, and we decided to repeat the vows. And we're going to take them in little bites because they're important and they're serious. It's a real. It's a big deal. So repeat after me, and I'm going to start with you, Stephen. I, Stephen Paul Imch, take Paige Christine Souter as my true and lawfully wedded wife. In joy and in sorrow. In plenty and in want. In sickness and in health. Now listen. And I promise before God and our loved ones to be true and faithful. And to forsake all others as long as God gives me life. Paige. I, Paige Christine Souter, take Stephen Paul Emsch. As my true and lawfully wedded husband. In joy and in sorrow. In plenty and in want, in sickness and in health. And I promise before God and our loved ones to be true and faithful and to forsake all others as long as God gives me life. Thank you. It means something. It means something. I'm going to ask you another question, just together. So, Stephen and Paige, if God blesses your union with children, would you promise to raise them in the nurture and admonition of a Christian home? Because it means something, as you have experienced. God has the key. On the basis of these sacred vows, which you've made in faith, by the authority granted to me by the church and the state of Indiana, I now pronounce you Stephen Emsch and you Paige Souter as husband and wife in the Lord. And we always say this, but what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen. You kneel and pray, and let's all arise. Dear Heavenly Father, we tear up and our hearts pound within us at the moment that we approach Thy throne. Lord, because we don't know where else to go, and we have found that through You, through Thee, all things are possible. And we understand a little bit of Thy grace and a little bit of Thy Spirit, and we know and we believe that through You, they can come together in union into one. And Lord, we pray a blessing upon Stephen and Paige. We ask, Lord, for Thy grace to be full in them individually and as a couple. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to fill them up, that they could be full of Thy Spirit, they could be full of joy and peace. So we pray a blessing upon them. We commit them, Lord, as a couple to You. Please leave with them and go with them, and wherever they go and whatever they do, Lord, be in their home, be in their heart, be in their life. We pray for the family circles, Lord, a blessing upon them. Grandma who's not here, those that are gone, those that are here, Lord, we pray that they could come together as a family and love each other even when they're not lovable. We pray that blessing upon them, Lord. We thank Thee now, and we commend them and commit them to You. In Jesus' name, amen.